Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. You're so tired of watching all your friends get married and looking at everybody else having healthy, secure relationships, and you're sitting on the sidelines wondering, when will it be my turn? I want to invite you that you can decide to take ownership, that you can say, I'm going to become the version of me who effortlessly attracts my emotionally available ideal partner. And you're going to stop wasting your time on relationships that go nowhere, right? I want to invite you that you can make that decision. And spring is an incredible time to do the work with us inside of the Empowered, Secure, Loved program. This program is founded by myself, Dr. Morgan, clinical psychologist, attachment theory expert. It has helped hundreds of women become securely attached so that they can attract the relationships that they deserve. Now is your turn. And this spring is an incredible time to join us introducing Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale this April only. When you join the program, you get a bonus training that is how to embody secure feminine energy. This is a topic I love talking about, and you'll get this training as a gift. Also, you'll get the Become the One bundle. This is all about becoming the secure version of you. It includes meditations, affirmations, a communication framework. It is so, so valuable. And that's another gift. On top of that, you get a bonus month in the program. So instead of 2 months with us, you'll have 3 whole months where you'll receive support, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and of course, the coursework, all of that with a bonus month and a $400 discount on the program. So that is a no-brainer. If you've been on the fence, if you've been thinking about doing the work, this is the time. Take advantage of our Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale. This is going away, and I would apply to the program today. Go use the link in the show notes, and it's super easy. You'll fill out an application, meet with someone on my team, and go from there. So it takes 5 minutes, go to the link in the show notes, apply today. I can't wait to see you inside of the program. Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. It's your host, Dr. Morgan, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm here on some business and wow, I'm excited to share with you all what I'm working on. It won't be for a little while, but it's going to be such an incredible, incredible thing once it's ready. So that's all I'll say for now. Also, I love Nashville, just incredible people here. And it's lush, green, and beautiful. And of course, y'all know I gotta go get some barbecue, maybe some hot chicken. The food is incredible. Anyways, today's episode, what are we talking about? We are gonna talk about emotionally immature parents and how that can impact our attachment styles. And then I'm going to talk about what to do as an adult, as you're realizing these relationship dynamics with your parents, and how do you cope with that? Because I think no one really talks about this side of healing, where there's a little bit of truth to that saying of ignorance is bliss. It might not be healthy bliss. It might be, you know, really unhealthy relationship patterns kind of bliss. But as you're healing, there's a lot of things that you start to see that you never saw before.
And for some of us, that can include how we relate to our parents and the kinds of relationships we have with our parents. So I'm going to talk about realizing that and what can we do once we realize it. So starting out, emotionally immature parents, I just want to say there is such a spectrum here. You may have experienced emotional abuse, emotional neglect, even physical abuse. You may have experienced a parent dynamic where you had to show up as the parent. You were the parentified child. There's all kinds of unhealthy parent-child dynamics, and there's none that are worse. I just don't think it's fair to compare our childhood experiences. The truth is that all of us have experienced relational trauma in some form or another, and some of us had enough positive, securely attached experience with a caregiver that we were able to develop secure attachment regardless of relational trauma. And some of us had more relational trauma, and those were the predominant relationships for us growing up. So we develop insecure attachment styles and mental health concerns, right? So there's just such a spectrum. You can't compare. Everyone's experience is valid. Your experience is valid. Sometimes I have people who come to me and they say, I always had a roof over my head. I always had food. I was never beaten. So I didn't experience childhood trauma. The fact is, you can have all those basic needs met, but if you don't have the basic need of love, knowing you're loved unconditionally, emotional support, someone you can go to when you're hurt or when you're struggling, a parent that cheers you on and is there for you and simultaneously encourages your independence and supports your goals and your dreams, somebody who's emotionally attuned to you and your needs, who can validate you, who can hold space for you, right? If you're lacking those things, then you are lacking in your basic needs for safe emotional connection. So once again, it's all on a spectrum. Everyone's experience is valid. Everybody experiences some form of relational trauma. The question is, did you experience enough secure, emotionally available caregiving to allow you to grow up as a securely attached adult? Or did you experience more relational trauma that led you to develop an insecure attachment style? And what I love and what research also backs up is that we know that no matter what your current attachment style is, you can move towards secure attachment. And obviously, if you need help doing that, come to the Empowered, Secure, Loved Relationship Program. We specialize in that. I've devoted my entire career to helping anyone, no matter their past, become their securely attached self. And you can apply to the program using the link in the show notes. I know that you're so worthy of doing this work for you, and there's no better time than right now, especially because April, we have an incredible offer for you. So don't miss out. Use the link in the show notes. Okay. So let's talk about what is an emotionally immature parent. These are some signs. These are some things you may have experienced in your childhood if you had a parent who was not emotionally available for you. So number one, maybe you had a parent who had emotional reactivity. This can be someone who doesn't know how to regulate their emotions. And this can look like intense shifts in their emotional responses. So extreme reactions to minor inconveniences, quickly shifting from one mood to another, or reacting without thought. So throwing tantrums, threatening or punishing a child, also relying on the child for emotional support, using the child to have your own emotional support, and being unpredictable in emotional responses. So think about this as a child. If you're a child, and when I think about that, I think about like a 5 or 6 year old kid, and they're just starting to really understand themselves and how they relate to the world. And if you have a caregiver that responds to you differently, you could come to them one day and say, "Hey, mom, I spilled a glass of milk." And maybe one day they're supportive and they say, "Hey, it's no big deal. Here's how you clean it up." And they help you clean it up. And then the next day you do it again and they respond by yelling at you, punishing you, telling you to go to your room. What does that teach a child? It teaches a child that it's not safe for me to mess up. It's not safe for me to ask for support. I never know what I'm going to get. And it can throw the child into fight or flight mode, right? If that happens again and again and again. So emotional reactivity can make a child feel unsafe to express their own emotions, because what the child is internalizing is there's enough emotions from my parent. There's no space for my emotions. There's no space. So there's a lot of disconnecting from your emotional experience or stuffing the emotions down, right? Okay, so that's one sign of emotionally mature parents. The next one is classic emotional unavailability. So this is where when you have a child, so when you were a child, if you're expressing your needs, you basically learned that it did no good to express your needs. So this is a parent who is disinterested, not present. They are not attuned to your needs. And when you are expressing your needs, they're either chronically emotionally invalidated. So you're told, "Oh, it could be worse. It's not that bad. Just get over it. Pick yourself up. I don't want to hear it unless you're bleeding or dying." I mean, we all have these experiences, right? And what happens is that that response tells a child that they are invalid and that they're not worthy of having their emotions validated, and that their emotional experience is wrong somehow. So what this does is this leads to adults who are very disconnected from their emotional experience, who likely have a hard time connecting to others' emotional experience because they never had the model for what it looked like, right? And with the emotional unavailability parent, this would even be more likely to lead to avoidant attachment style. Ways that this could look like from a parent: this can also be a parent who's not really good at expressing love or expressing affection. They might offer criticism. This is that overly critical, almost helicopter parent, where they are looking at everything that you do and being critical of it and expecting high performance, high achievement, likely because that's how their parents were with them. This is a parent that probably is avoiding open, honest communication. They don't have the emotional capacity to show up for quote unquote messy, right? They want to be able to just put you in this box of, "Okay, everything's good with this kid. I don't have to be there." Right. So these kids who have parents like this, they might look like they're really high achievers. They're incredible at what they do, but emotionally, they might be a mess. They might be entirely cut off from their emotions. This parent could also just not show interest in the child's activities or their school, and could be also consumed with work, consumed with their own career, their own friends, their own life. They're simply filling their life with other things unrelated to their child. And this can leave the child feeling, like I said, either developing avoidant attachment or anxious attachment. Because what we know is that attachment styles can have similar roots, but the person can cope differently. So we could have two children with the same parent, and let's say the parent was emotionally unavailable. One child could develop anxious attachment, the other could develop avoidant. It's simply different ways of coping with the rupture in the bonds. Okay. So the third thing to consider with emotionally immature parents is you may have had a parent who was lacking in empathy. So this could look like a defensive parent, a parent who is complaining, a parent who's stonewalling, ignoring, making insensitive comments, interrupting you, inattentiveness, and then making impulsive decisions without regards for the child's needs. So, lack of empathy, and obviously, an extreme lack of empathy from a parent could line up with narcissistic personality disorder. So, especially if you are a child of a narcissist, there's going to be a huge impact on your ability to form bonds, right? So the lack of empathy is going to lead to a lot of terrible beliefs about yourself, a lot of terrible beliefs about relationships, a lot of pain surrounding relationships. And this experience in childhood might even lead you to develop a disorganized attachment style, right? So I think it's important to look at this, to realize these patterns, and to know that even if this is your experience, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, Dr. Morgan, I hit the jackpot. I had all three of those in my childhood, right? My parents showed up in all those ways. I want you to know that there's hope for you, that you can always release those experiences. You can always learn how to build secure attachment. And if you're just now realizing this as an adult, I want to shift to talk about this. One of the sentences you need to remember is this: my parent was doing the best that they could, and there are ways that they failed me. They were doing the best that they could, and there are ways that they failed me. And once you realize that, you can have the empathy and also the accountability. That's the thing, is we have to be able to see the dialectic here, meaning two things can be true at once. And the truth is, yeah, they did the best they could, and there's ways that they failed. There's ways that your needs were not met. There's ways that you didn't learn how to regulate your emotions. You didn't learn how to self-soothe. You didn't learn how to validate your emotional experience. You didn't learn how to tune into your emotional experience, right? There's ways that you were failed. And they did the best that they could. So it's very important to hold that duality. And then, as an adult, let's say you're on your healing journey, you've been listening to this podcast for a bit, maybe you're doing all kinds of things. Maybe you're in the Empowered, Secure, Loved program, because this is such a common theme inside the program. I see this all the time. But you're doing all this work and you're realizing, whoa, the relationship that I have with my parents is not healthy, or so it could be that it's currently not healthy, or there are things that I am realizing now about my childhood that if I do not discuss with my parent, I won't be able to maintain a relationship with them. One of the first things I want you to do is be grateful that you have the awareness, or that you're willing to have the awareness. Remember, I said in the beginning, sometimes people want to just have the ignorance of not knowing. So, by having the willingness to be aware, you are actually giving yourself the opportunity to heal on a deeper level. So, go you. And you're also giving yourself the opportunity to potentially have a better relationship with your parents. So, if you are in this place and you're realizing this, that's the first step, is have gratitude and also give yourself space to process through what you need to about the relationship. So for a lot of you, this might look like taking some distance from the relationship. So really taking a little bit of space away and being able to say, you know, hey, I'm really going through some healing work. I'm really working on myself. Is it okay if we spend some time where we're not doing dinners or where I'm not talking? There's really some things I'm working through, right? So however you want to phrase it, but just expressing that you need some space. Because in order to approach a parent or anyone for that matter, in order to be able to do that well, we have to have the understanding ourselves first of what we felt, of where we're at, what do we want, what needs to change. So start with that. Give yourself space, give yourself permission to back up from the relationship a little bit. Once you've done a lot of processing around that relationship and what happened, going back to your childhood self, realizing what were some of the wounds, what were the false beliefs that I was made to believe about myself because of my early childhood experiences. Once you've done that work, then you want to ask yourself this magical question. Is there anything that I processed through, anything that I uncovered in this work that would be really helpful in trying to build a secure relationship with my parent? So is there anything that I could take from what I processed that would be helpful for trying to redefine a relationship? That's the first question. The second question is there anything that if I do not express it, it's going to cause me to have resentment and it's going to cause me to pull away? So this could be a specific time that you were really hurt, something that you feel like you really need, something that a need that wasn't met that really hurt you. So ask yourself that question. Is there anything that if I do not express it, I will pull away from this relationship? Once you have your answers to those questions, then you have another question, which is, do I have emotional capacity to try to redefine this relationship? The longer a relationship has existed, the harder it is to try to change the dynamic. I always think about this metaphor of a long-term relationship is like trying to steer a giant cruise ship. A new relationship is like steering a little kayak. It hasn't been formed fully, so there's a lot more room to move it and redefine it and change the course. Whereas our parental relationships, there's a ton of history. There's a ton of norms and the culture is so defined and the expectations and they think they know who you are, right? There's all of this that's been invested in the relationship that has determined the course that it's on. So it's harder to change. However, it's not impossible. So you want to ask yourself this question. Do I have capacity to show up and change this relationship? And when I say capacity, I mean, are you in a season where you can spend some time having some vulnerable, real, honest conversations with your parent? For me, I'll be honest with you guys, that didn't come very easily for me to get to that place where I had emotional capacity. Mostly because I had a ton of processing I had to do myself. But when I finally was in tune with myself and I realized, okay, I do have capacity for this, and I had done all my own processing, it was so much better than it would have been if I had tried to do it earlier. So there really is something to be said about knowing yourself, knowing what you have capacity for. And I know this, that it starts with one conversation, but it's not done. Redefining a relationship with a parent is a lifelong commitment. It's saying, hey, I want to open this door to this new type of relationship with you. Do you want to walk through this door with me? And can we both work on it together and decide that we want a new kind of relationship? But you have to continually decide to show up and make it different. It's not just a one-time decision. It's not a one-time conversation. But the first part of that process involves both people being open, honest, direct, and sharing in a vulnerable way what has impacted them, so the hurt, and what they need to be different, what needs to be different. Now, when you're starting this process, you don't want to just come to your parent and say, hey, all this happened and da-da-da. You want to start with, hey, I value our relationship. I have a lot of things that I've realized about my childhood and our relationship, right? I have a lot of things that I've realized, and I would love the opportunity to discuss it with you and to work on our relationship together. Are you open to that? So we start with the invitation. We start with the invitation, and then we start with that processing phase where you're not trying to problem solve. You're not trying to make the relationship different. You're simply hearing each other out and working to understand one another. You're working to understand where each other are at and understand each person's experience in the relationship. That's phase two. And then that's phase one. And then phase two is, what do I need to be different? How can both people express what their current needs are? What are things that would be different? So this could look like spending less time together, spending more time together, having boundaries around not talking about certain things if they've been intrusive in your finances or in your love life or in your career, having boundaries around not talking about certain things. Maybe you need an apology, right? So that's an action step of saying, what I need is a written apology or a verbal apology for XYZ. So phase two is more of, okay, what kind of behaviors do we have? What do we do to change this relationship? But it won't be possible to get there until you've done phase one, where both people feel heard and understood. And know this, there's always multiple sides to any one experience. So simply by understanding does not mean that you agree, but both people have to be understood, right? And then we can get into, well, what does it look like to have a different kind of relationship? And then phase three is, let's get really, really intentional about what kind of relationship do we want to have? How can we intentionally rebuild our relationship culture? Do we want to spend time together? Is there a trip that we want to do once a year together? Is there ways that we want to celebrate? Is there a cause that maybe we want to team up on to give back to people? That's the fun part of the relationship, is like, what's important to us? Are there some traditions we want to do? Just getting to have fun and rebuild the relationship. So there's always hope, I think, in knowing that it's possible. It is possible to do this work with a parent. And sometimes it takes way, way longer than you thought it would. And then I want to talk about the reality that sometimes it's not possible. And the reason that is that it takes two people. So even if you are very ready to do the work and redefine and reconcile and offer apologies and understand one another, even if you are in that place, if your parent is not there and they refuse to get there, you can't do the healing work for two people. So deciding to redefine a parent-child relationship takes two people. And once again, it may take way longer than you think. You may plant the seeds, and your parent may take months to come around to the idea. But whatever you do, know this, don't try to do it for both of you. It's a mutual decision that takes reciprocal effort and time. And how cool that you could be the one to break the patterns here. You could be the one in your family that could work on having a healthy parent-child relationship. And I want to encourage you this. If it's not you with your parent, maybe it's you with your niece and nephew, or maybe it's you with a child of your own. But you get to make the decision that I want to have healthy parent-child relationships, and you get to do whatever work is required, knowing that it's a lifelong commitment. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it gave you a lot of actionable steps. And I do want to encourage you that it starts with the relationship with yourself first. So don't try to go heal the relationship with your parent when you haven't done a lot of your own processing with yourself. It's going to go a lot better if you've worked on that relationship with you first, and then you can approach the parental relationship. Obviously, if you want help on your journey, you know where you can find me. The Empowered Secure Love Program has helped over 500 women become securely attached. And I can tell you, a lot of our clients also in this process, they develop a healthy relationship with their parents. And that is such a rewarding aspect. So if you know that you can't do this by yourself, you need support, you need help, go apply to the program. The link is in the show notes. We would love to have you. Most importantly, know this, that you're so, so worthy of doing this work, and give yourself a ton of gratitude for taking time to tune in today and to really reflect on your own parental relationships. And I just want to send you so much love. And of course, as always, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.